I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right, someone come and get your kid. This may or may not could have possibly been my kid if I had one. Imagine getting a phone call from your child's school letting you know your child drank alcohol during snack time.
Wait, what? How old is this child?
Kindergartner.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what happened to some Michigan parents last Thursday. According to the reports, a kindergartner took a bottle of Jose Cuervo mix, it has 10% alcohol content, and shared it with her classmates before the teacher intervened.
Oh, no.
So I believe that the child thought it was juice and took it and was like, hey, here, you know, sharing with her little...
Here's some juice, kids.
You know right. What I mean? It's like juice.
Tastes so good.
So this happened in Michigan at Grand River Academy. Officials say they have addressed the situation, school officials, but that they can't actually share all the details because of school privacy. But imagine getting, I'm not a parent, but I do have a goddaughter. I would be raging hell if somebody was like, yo, a kid brought alcohol to school and your child drank it. Like, that's crazy. That's wild. Oh, parents, man. Lock your stuff up.
Yeah.
Well, there's that too. I mean, we don't have our stuff locked up, but the children know because, you know, I'm a Hispanic parent and I tell them, you see that over there? If you touch it, it's going to be bad news.
Oh, you don't say like you touch it, you die? Nothing like
no,
that?
No, I don't go that far, Kaplan, but I just say it's going to be bad news.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's enough of a threat. That's a healthy threat. I don't have, I was threatened, I was told you touch it, you die, right? But, like, you know. It's 2022.
You soften things up, yeah.
I'm trying to be a little nicer than maybe my parents were, you know? Like, we're trying to evolve as a community. You know
vas
what I mean?
A ver. Vas
right.
A ver.
Right, exactly.
Si lo vas tocas, a vas a ver cómo te va a ir. Yep, that's what you said.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the way it is. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you guys, as a parent who has had that phone call, not exactly the way you just described it.
Whoa.
But I will tell you, so that this is I'd say October, November of last year, 2021. I was driving down. We had done a live broadcast in LA. I was driving back down to San Diego, and I get up, my phone rings, and I see the name of the principal from my daughter's high school. And I'm like, why is he calling me? And I realize that sometimes when he calls, I'll answer. I go, hey, how's it going? And it's a recording. Hello, parents. This is so-and-so, your principal from the school. I'm like, so I see his number is calling me, and I'm like, okay, must be a recorded thing. So I answer the phone for some reason. Hello? Expecting a recording. Hey, Scott. Yeah. Hey, it's a principal. I won't say his name. Hey, what's going on? And then I'm like, oh, no, it's Friday night. It's like 8:30. What could possibly be going on? He's like, hey, listen, your daughter is here. And well, let's just put it this way. She desperately needs to go home. She should not be here at the football game. And I need you to come get her right now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in like Mission Viejo heading south. I'll be there as fast as I can. But yeah, that call comes in from a principal or a school official. About booze with your kid at school? Not good.
Five-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, five-year-old's a little different. Yes,
a little different than 18. Crazy. I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah.
But telling
little
you,
bit.
George.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. But I'll tell you this, George. Your children, you have no idea what is coming because
your
kids are still little. But if I were
I stole my parents' car at like 12 years old.
What?
My mom and dad left somewhere. And now, granted, I lived in a neighborhood where the gas station, you could take, like, the side streets instead of having to get on the main thoroughfare.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could just, you know, drive through the neighborhood. So my mom had a Ford Tempo back in the day.
Nice car.
And my it really wasn't that nice of a car at all, actually. My mom had a Ford Tempo. And mom and dad left, and I wanted to go to the gas station. I didn't feel like walking the 5 or 6 blocks. She left her keys. I took the Tempo. Went and got candy bars and soda and whatever I wanted and came back.
No. Ooh.
I drove very slow. They never knew.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't
so,
get busted,
I mean, listen.
Huh?
That's crazy.
I didn't get busted on that. I did get busted having one of those Ragers at my house while they were on, like, a cruise. only because one of my idiot friends didn't throw away one bag of trash.
Yep. You see, when you're a teenager and you have a party at your parents' house, you better do a thorough inspection. Otherwise, you get busted real quick and easy. I busted my kids every time. They're like, we cleaned the whole house. How'd you bust us? I'm like, oh, you see that cigarette butt that was out back? I found that. Or that empty can of beer. Oh, just one little clue, and dad is going to bust your ass.
Wow. I've never thrown anything at my parents' house because I would never be able to get away with it, and I didn't want the heat. Never.
Yeah, I understand.
But I did run away when I was like 8 years old.
You ran away? That's way worse than throwing a party.
How far did you get? How far did you get when you ran away?
That's the funny part.
Or even taking my mom's tempo at 12 years old. That's
so my brother and I, we literally like thought it was a good idea to run away. We had, you know how like in the movies they have like the little broomstick with the little tie thing and you just throw stuff in there?
Like Pee-wee. Like you're a hobo or something?
Yeah. So me and my brother each had one. And we took toys, bro, like stupid toys. We're like 8 or 9 years old, no shoes on. We had done something stupid at the house, and we're like, oh, my God. But my parents have my mom. Well, my mom was worse than my dad. But, like, my dad never hit us, never did any of that. So he was like, where are you? You know, in Spanish, like, I'm going to kick your butt. I don't even know what we did. So we're like, dude, we got to run away. We got to, like, the end of the block.
Yeah.
Further out. Anyways, so then we saw my mom's truck and my dad's car. Well, my mom's car and my dad's truck just roaming in circles. We were hidden in back of an SUV for like 6 hours until the owner of the house came out and was like, are you guys okay? Do you guys need me to call the cops? And then we had to fess up that we lived down the street. And yeah, it did not go well for us. Mm-mm. So don't do it. It's like, little kids, if you're listening, just don't even try it. It's not good. Never, never, never. One time. My mom's like, really? You think you're going to survive on your Barbies? I'm like, you know, it could happen. We don't know what could have happened. Yeah. Stupid stuff when you're little.
Got to sell those Barbies.
Somebody just tweeted me, at QPP Network, Sedano at 12 was playing Grand Theft Auto for real.
True.
That's funny. Oh, dude, parenting is just, you don't even want to get me started after what happened this weekend. You don't even understand.
Toby Hicks, by the way, says, Lauren, amendment to your story, the kid that took that alcohol knew it was an adult drink, according to the article.
Oh, my God.
Really?
That's even worse.
Really?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think any little kid's going to walk into third grade class and go, yo, you guys want to try some of this really great grape juice? Because all the kids are like, ooh, that sounds good.
Well, 5 years old, you're in kinder. That's not third grade.
Well, I mean, well, it's even worse then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, my goddaughter's 7. She don't know what that is. Why would a 5-year-old know? That's parents. You got some work to do.
What?
I got some stuff for you. Now we were going to talk Lakers here anyway. You ready for this though? First, this is not what we were going to talk about with LeBron, but HBO teases a second season of Winning Time.
That's right.
Do you know what it's going to be? What they're teasing?
I guess I don't. I did hear that Winning Time was renewed for a second season, and I do recall that the book Showtime was. I don't remember exactly what years, maybe like 1979 to 1987, something like that. So there's more to the story than what season one. Tell me, what are they saying?
No. The season two will fast forward to the Shaq and Kobe era.
Oh, you're kidding me.
According to this report.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're just going to skip by the Eddie Jones and Van Exel era?
Yeah, no offense to Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel. I mean, offense if you want, but.
You watched last night's episode of Winning Time?
I did.
I got to say, for anybody that didn't see it, no spoiler here.
Please, thank you.
No, but I just got to say one thing.
No, but Pat Riley started to become Pat Riley now.
Right. And we meet Larry Bird for the first time. Oh, at least
the guy who played Larry Bird nailed it.
Was hilarious. I mean, listen, if you were sitting around in a meeting and you were writing this show and you're like, okay, look, we got to bring up Larry Bird. Now, Larry is this guy from this small town in Indiana, and we really need
French
to make
Lick.
Him. Right. We need to make him look as like. Hickey as possible, you know what I mean? Like from the sticks.
Well, his nickname back then was the Hick from French Lick. That's what they called him.
So when they introduced Larry Bird for the first time, cracked me up because whether or not this is really the way Larry Bird was, I don't know for sure. But if it wasn't, they portrayed it perfectly. We want to portray a guy as a little hick from a little small town. Have him chewing tobacco and spitting it in a Budweiser can.
Yeah,
that. Was hilarious to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great job. Yesterday's episode was excellent.
I thought so.
But I would be interested in a fast forward to Shaq and Kobe. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I didn't realize that they were going to just bypass everything.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the beginnings of their run is the most interesting part. Once you get to the Riley stuff, like, that's it. Like, what's, you know, they win up four championships. Like, what's, you know.
I do love last night's episode. And again, storyline aside, the fact that Riley shaves his mustache and now becomes, like, you know, from broadcaster to assistant coach. And
I mean,
and
you just said no spoilers.
Dude, for real,
wait,
I was
second.
Working
hold
yesterday.
No, no, no,
I
no.
know that
hold,
stuff wait. Is historical, but some people that are watching this cap were not do not know that stuff.
I'm four episodes behind.
Well, let me tell you
well,
what
that's
happens.
Your problem.
Let me tell you what happens, Funch. So Pat Riley actually is a broadcaster, but he becomes a coach.
That's where I left off.
That's not earth-shattering, okay?
No,
I know, but you're about to keep going.
Yes, you were. If Sedano wouldn't have pumped the brakes, you would have kept spilling
yeah,
out stuff.
I don't listen. I think anybody's going to watch it. I don't think anybody's going to watch it and go, "Oh man, phew."
But it's so.
But you got to give people more than a day.
Yeah.
Oh, you need
like,
more than a day?
I watched it last night at 1 in the morning, at 12:30 at night when I got to my house off a flight.
Same deal. I make it a point to watch it on Sunday night.
I get it, but not everyone has that luxury.
Well, it wasn't exactly a luxury. I mean, it was late at night, you know, and I was kind of dozing off. But
right, but the point is you don't have to be up, you know, at the crack
at
of dawn
five.
To go to a job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of do.
No, you don't, though.
Yeah, I do.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I do.
You
kind of
can
make your own schedule.
Yeah, I wanted to get to Alex Toussaint and have a Club Bangers ride
okay,
at like 6
not,
o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but that's not punching the clock, bro.
Oh, all right.
So all anyhow.
Right. Well, watch
Travis Rogers today. Said that the Lakers should just let LeBron walk at the end of his deal. Like, not offer him an extension in August.
He's saying let him walk at the end of this next upcoming NBA season where LeBron is still under contract. Is that what he's saying?
He's saying after the season, yeah. Like, basically, okay. Don't offer him an extension, and he gets to be a lame duck.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. What if you do offer him an extension and he doesn't sign it, and then he is, in theory, a lame duck?
Well, then he's out. Then you're already figuring out ways to move him. I would imagine if that happens, he's also going to be requesting a trade at that point, which I don't see happening. So I don't think that's realistic at the moment.
So the idea, though, is that, hey, look, you get to the end of next basketball season where we don't know what the results will be between now and then, and at the end of that, you let him walk. You just let him go regardless. It's kind of hard to predict what's going to happen. You know, will LeBron at 37 and a half and 38 next season, will he be as good as he was individually this year? And will the roster around him evolve to the point where they're a championship caliber competitive club again? Because I'll tell you this, George, watching some of the playoffs yesterday, when I saw what Phoenix was doing to New Orleans, and it's not like they blew them out by 50 points the way Miami did in their game yesterday, but when I watched New Orleans and Phoenix, I thought to myself, man, the Pelicans own the Lakers all year long. Even late in the season when the Lakers were desperate and they had to buy a win, they couldn't against the Pelicans, and the Pelicans aren't going to beat the Suns. So it just gives you an idea of how far away the Lakers were this year
from
the Suns. Oh,
but I told you that. If they played the Suns, I told you there was no chance they were going to win. None.
I understand that. I do. But it's further illustrated by knowing that the Pelicans just wrecked the Lakers all season long, and they can't hang with the Suns. So, I mean, to see a team like New Orleans, who, again, beat up on the Lakers in some of the most critical games of the season when the Lakers had to have it, and the Lakers couldn't get it done, and then you see what the Suns are compared to the Pelicans, I mean, the Lakers aren't even playing in the same league.
No. No, they're not. But that's why they need to look, and we can do this on the other side because there's a story out there about the Lakers trying to move Russell Westbrook. So let's do that. Let's take a quick pause for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, according to Laura. And we are going to kind of assess some of the stuff that's out there about Russell Westbrook in a possible trade scenario. Okay. But let me tell you first about Valvoline. Head to your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient services for busy people like you. You don't have to drag the kids to a dirty waiting room at Valvoline. You stay in your car while the experts make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit their website, SoCalOilChange.com, for locations and game-winning coupons. All right, we're back in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Looking at her, she hit the floor. Shorty got low, 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 low. Yeah.
What movie was this in recently?
Huh.
In the last couple years, this song was in a movie.
Anybody know?
I'm trying to think what it was. Hold on. Flo Rida. Was it the movie, the Bachelor Party movie? What's the name of that movie?
The Bachelor Party?
No.
The Hangover?
The Hangover? Was it in The Hangover?
You know, it could have been in The Hangover now that you mention it, but I don't remember. I need confirmation, but you might be onto it.
Oh, was it
No, I know what it is.
Proposal?
No.
Was it Tropic Thunder?
No.
Tom Cruise dancing to it?
I think it was in The Proposal with Sandra Bullock and when they were in the woods. And Betty White was, like, doing that, and she was, like, wasn't she dancing to Get Low?
I don't know. Who knows the answer? Somebody tweet us.
I thought it was a proposal.
Come on, community. Where is the Sedano and Cap community on Twitter with answers?
Okay, let me Google this. I really thought it was a proposal.
I feel like George is onto the Hangover.
This is definitely in a movie, though. I'm trying to remember what song. It's not... And when I Googled it, it shows Step Up 2. I've never seen that movie. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, yeah, Step Up 2, but, yeah.
I've never seen that, so I don't even know what that is. But it was definitely, and it might have been Tropic. It was definitely more recent than Tropic Thunder, though, Funch.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing when I'm Googling.
Yeah, it's The Proposal. Hold on, let me send it to you.
And is it possibly in The Hangover? Because you said that Bachelor Party movie, and I said The Bachelor Party. Remember, there was a movie, The Bachelor Party, that was Tom Hanks, think.
That was like in 1982.
Yeah, so this song wasn't around, so forget it. Another contemporary reference. Nobody's got it, huh? Nobody's got it.
I'm sending the video, but it's not like that song. They did their own little version of that.
No. This is like, no. It's definitely that. It's the song. The actual song is in a movie.
Then it was Step Up too. Because
I've never seen that, so I don't know what the hell that is.
Does anybody listening know was that song in The Hangover? Or a Bachelor Party movie. We got a lot of movie buffs out there. They're going to give us answers quickly.
So Tropic Thunder, I know, was in those.
Wait, what?
So maybe Funches was right. Maybe it is Tropic Thunder with Tom Cruise in the fat suit, basically. Like, maybe that's what I was thinking of. I don't know. I could have sworn it was another movie, but maybe whatever. Anyway. So real quick, let's get back to this LeBron thing. So would you let him walk, Kaplan? Because you've been saying this thing of, you need to regain control of the franchise. Like, that's been your thing. So, is that the maneuver? Or like, so are you with Travis on this? Because I feel like that. Travis is the most rational person in this building. And I feel like that is a very irrational take for anyone, let alone someone as rational as he is.
Well, look, the first thing I would do is I would try and get him to sign the 2-year extension. So, that's the first thing I'm trying to do.
But so Travis is saying don't even offer him the 2-year extension.
Nah, I got to do that. I think Ireland, when we were doing a crossover earlier, made a really strong point, which is, listen, L.A. in particular, more so than any other city in America, when it comes to sports teams, it's about superstars. And if you were to let LeBron just walk away, what superstar do you currently have on this team? And anybody who says Anthony Davis, stop, please. Don't even say that. Don't say it. He's not a superstar. He's been a very, very good basketball player at times in his career, but he's not a superstar. He doesn't transcend sports. He doesn't have like hundreds of TV commercials. In fact, every commercial that I see is LeBron. So Anthony Davis doesn't qualify. I personally would try and sign LeBron to the 2-year extension, figuring you're going to have him till he's 40-ish, and see what happens over the next couple of years. Because if this season is any indication of what he can be, 38, 39 years old, he'll be fine. It's everybody else that you got to worry about. So, George, to answer your question, I would start off by offering LeBron the two-year extension. If he's not going to sign it, then you know where you stand. And then ultimately, you're most likely to let him walk. Now, you would tell me, if he were to get to the end of his last year and he didn't sign the two-year extension that's been talked about for nearly $100 million, what are the Lakers' options at that point?
If he declines it, you're saying?
If he gets to the end of his the end of next year and he hasn't signed an extension and he's a free agent, what kind of money could the Lakers give him? Is it such that it would be advantageous for him financially to say?
Oh, you're saying like if he waits it out is
yes,
what you're saying.
Correct.
There's no advantage to him doing that. I don't believe. I'm not a capologist. I mean, I have a pretty good grasp of it, but I don't believe there's any actual advantage of him waiting.
Let me ask a different question. Do you anticipate the Lakers offering LeBron this two-year extension at almost $100 million?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, now let me ask you the follow-up. Do you anticipate LeBron would sign it?
Yes.
Same. So that's exactly my point. I believe here's what's going to happen. The Lakers are going to offer LeBron the money. That's almost, it's $99.7 million. So let's just call it $100 million.
And by the way, that then syncs up LeBron and Anthony Davis through the 24-25 season.
And that is, no matter how we feel about Anthony Davis and his injury history, no matter how some of us may feel about LeBron and the control that he has or had with the roster, regardless of how you feel about that, I think anybody rational should agree, having LeBron under contract, not just for this year, but 2 years beyond, and syncing that up with Anthony Davis, that's the smartest thing the Lakers could do.
I agree. I think and here's the thing. So there's all these Russell Westbrook scenarios out there. So Mark Stein of the New York Times is reporting that the Lakers aren't interested in a Gordon Hayward for Russell Westbrook swap. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm a little surprised by that, only to this extent. I actually feel he'd be a really good fit with LeBron and Anthony Davis. He's a really smart player. He passes the ball really well. He can score at three levels. He's a great shooter. He can get to the free throw line. His issue, although this would be I could understand this is where they would have some pause, he's been hurt a lot recently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ever since that injury in Boston, he's right. been hurt a lot.
I mean, it was serious injury, dude.
Yeah, a gruesome injury in Boston. And he hasn't had that same injury before, but as we've talked about, the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. So I can understand. I'll tell you this, though. If there is any modicum of truth that Indiana would even consider Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hield for Russell Westbrook, Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and everyone there at the Lakers should fly the private jet to Indianapolis tomorrow to get that deal done.
Should be a no-brainer. I mean, first and foremost, the number one thing you're trying to accomplish is find somebody to dance to take this Russell Westbrook situation. Not just the $47 million next year. Just take the whole package and get it out of our organization.
Especially if you don't have to incentivize anyone with a draft pick, you absolutely should do that. There's no question about it. No question about it.
Okay, so we agree on that.
So if Buddy Hield and Malcolm Brogdon are really on the table, I know Malcolm Brogdon's been a little dinged up too, but Malcolm Brogdon is, I think, a more complete player. Because here's one thing Malcolm Brogdon will do, is Malcolm Brogdon will play defense, which they really haven't had at the point guard position in a minute, right? It's fair to say. So I think you absolutely, if you want to bring him, he's a good player. Like he's a 20-point scorer. He does a good job distributing the ball. He's an excellent defender. And he defends the point of attack, which in today's NBA, with the likes of Ja Morant, Devin Booker, who has the ball in his hands a lot, even though Chris Paul has the hands plenty as well, but he can guard Chris Paul. He can guard Devin Booker. He's 6'5", 230. Like, he's a big dude, big, strong dude at point guard/shooting guard. He's like a combo guard. Like, he's exactly the type of player but he also has an injury history. But here's the thing, Cap. You're not getting a Rolls Royce for a 1987 Cadillac. You know what I mean? Like, that's not happening.
That's what Russell Westbrook is. He's a 1987 Cadillac, huh?
I'm just saying, like, he's not at that price. You know, you could buy a classic car, Cap, and it can cost you a lot, but it can end up costing you more later because of things you may need to do to it to fix it. You know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, guess what, George? There's no new engine for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know? He can look real good, and he can have shiny, nice rims and tires, but you cannot fix the engine, and you can't replace the engine. And I'm just saying this right now, Malcolm Brogdon aside, okay? Anybody who's listening right now, you're like, yeah, I don't necessarily know who Malcolm Brogdon is. Me neither.
He's good.
Okay? Here's what I hear Buddy Hield. That's the name that
I
hear.
But Buddy Hield is actually not the better player of the two.
Perhaps not. What I'm saying, though, is that that's the player whose game I know, or at least think I know. Malcolm Brogdon, not so much, but it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. If you're telling me I can get rid of Russell Westbrook, get rid of his $47 million salary, and get rid of all of the issues that were created this season by his personality alone, and I don't have to give up any draft picks of any kind, this is a no-brainer trade if it were offered to the Lakers.
Yeah, 100%. Like, they should fly the jet tomorrow if that deal's really in place. And I don't know if it's really in place. But if it is, fly there tomorrow.
Man, oh, man. Russell Westbrook, it's amazing to me that the season is over. The playoffs are ongoing. And anybody who wasn't necessarily paying attention this year to anything outside of the Lakers, because that's the kind of fan I am. I focus in on my team.
No, we know that.
No, but that's the way I am. I focus in on my team and whoever's playing them. You, on the other hand, you're what I would call a universal NBA fan. You're following every team. You know every player. You know everything. I focus in on my team. So when I saw the Miami Heat play Atlanta yesterday and the way those guys play defense and to see Atlanta struggle to get a shot off, I was like, oh, man, I would keep LeBron and AD and then everybody else who I get. I need defensive players everywhere.
Well, you want defensive guys that can shoot the ball, in theory.
Well, that would be a nice additive little bonus to the player.
Yeah, you want 3-and-D guys around those guys, which is what they had with KCP and, you know, for all the stuff that came with it, Kuz, you know? By the way, I love that Kuz, if there's anything Kuz learned from being around LeBron is the passive-aggressive shot on social media, you know, of, like, basically taking a shot at his own team about, like, you know. So Kuz tweeted out, if you're a player, Miami will find you and develop you. And he talked about Duncan Robinson and Max Strus and Gabe Vincent, a bunch of the guys they've found in, like, the G League or whatever. And then LeBron's like, big facts. They develop their players. They do a great job developing.
God, that irritates me.
It was basically like, yes, my son, I have taught you well.
But that's so irritating. If you're a Laker fan, I mean, this whole season has been LeBron hyping up everybody else and essentially downing on the Lakers. And it's so frustrating as a fan because you're like, LeBron, what do you mean develop players? You can't develop players when every year you're changing over the roster all to accommodate the fact that we're in the latter part of your career and we all hear about LeBron's clock is ticking. I mean, come on, man. I mean, this constant, like, propping up of everybody else, which seems like a put down to the Lakers. I don't know, man. I find that very irritating. Anybody else?
I mean, he likes Austin Reeves, so it's not like he just wants a bunch of old dudes on this team.
Well, he wanted a bunch of old dudes on this team last season when they were revamping this roster.
But Austin Reeves he talked openly about Austin Reeves and about how, like, I've played with a lot of guys like him and I've had a lot of success with guys like him.
Well, listen, it's hard to, again, it's hard to develop talent when your roster is being turned over. Here, let me ask you a question. Do you think Talen Horton Tucker is being developed?
I don't. And I think that Talen Horton Tucker should probably go somewhere else. But the problem is you're selling really low on Talen Horton Tucker right now.
Okay. So, and do you blame the Laker franchise for the lack of development for Talen Horton Tucker?
I mean, sure, of course.
Okay. again, I look at LeBron. I'm not blaming LeBron because Talen Horton-Tucker hasn't developed, but I don't know who in the organization is supposed to be the development of a player like this. When
development of a player like that needs, you know, it's behind the scenes, but you also have to get a little run too, for sure.
All I'm saying is that the current Lakers with LeBron James on their roster are all about winning a championship, or let me rephrase that, as many championships as they can while they still have LeBron, whether that's for 1 year or the next 3 years or even beyond that. Because everybody knows that this is not 28-year-old LeBron, it's 37-year-old LeBron. So it just seems hard to talk about player development when everything is about we got to make a run this year, and over the last 3 years they've changed the roster.
But, well,
three.
That's what you're getting in business with LeBron. You got to be able to, you know, toe that line.
But that's why him tweeting this stuff is annoying.
Okay, well, I mean, it's annoying, but he wants you to do both. You can juggle. His theory is you can juggle more than one thing at once.
Okay. All right, if he says so.
I mean, I don't have that part I don't have a problem with.
My problem is the constant knock at your own franchise.
No, you know what it is? You also come from this football world where guys in football, outside of like Aaron Rodgers recently, like haven't been that for the most part.
Where they knock their own franchise?
Yeah, mind you, by the way, your boyfriend Tom Brady just pushed out a coach to the front office. I mean, no one talks about that.
Well, I've actually heard a lot of people talk about it. It's just that I was so naive, I never even thought about it myself. I'm like, wait, well, hold on, wait, what? What do you mean Tom Brady pushed Bruce Arians up to the front office? Brady decided to return from retirement because he didn't really want to be retired. And Bruce Arians decided, you know what, I've got a succession plan. Why is this Tom Brady pushing Bruce Arians out? But I know that theory exists. I'm familiar with the theory.
Ben Volen of the Boston Globe literally wrote that he was trying to get to Miami to stick it to Belichick and the Patriots twice a year.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
So doesn't that tell you, though, that the Flores lawsuit has some validity to it? Because the thought was that remember in the lawsuit, he claimed he went to Stephen Ross's yacht and that he was going to meet up. Ross wanted him to sit in a meeting with a current, like, Super Bowl caliber quarterback. And people didn't know who that was. But now if you deduce it all, it must have been Tom Brady.
Of course. And the assumption was that Flores had the relationship with Brady going back to
because
their New England days.
New England, right, yeah. So, I mean, your boy Brady is making moves. He's just, I mean, you know, nobody talks about that. Like, he's seen what LeBron has done. He's like, oh, I can do that too.
Maybe so. Maybe so, but
and
I don't
hear. That's what Aaron Rodgers saw, and that's what Russell Wilson saw.
I just don't hear those guys talking about player development. Listen, all I'm saying is this.
Russell Wilson literally trashed his organization. Like, he said, I want to be involved in personnel.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't think that the personnel decisions were good enough.
No different than your point. No different than what Aaron Rodgers wanted. All these guys want what LeBron has. It's true. Russell Wilson wants it and thinks he's earned it. My goodness. His name just lost. I just lost it. Deshaun Watson. This guy was arguing with the Houston Texans because he wanted to have a seat at the table. He was like a third-year player in the league. I mean, I understand if Aaron Rodgers is like, look, I've been in the league 15 years. I kind of know what I'm doing here, and I know the kind of player I want to play with, and I work out with guys in the offseason. I can tell you a lot about him. Like, I understand him wanting a seat at the table. But what they want is what LeBron has or has had, which is not just a seat, but a very influential voice. And will you buy that?
Yeah, and all these football guys, all these quarterbacks want what LeBron's had for all these years.
Yep, and they don't have it.
And that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing player empowerment come to the NFL, and the big bad NFL is going to have to try to deal with that now. Let's see how that goes.
Well, good luck to the Green Bay Packers because they just put all their eggs into the Aaron Rodgers basket, and that basket hasn't been to a Super Bowl in like 12 years.
Yeah, but... I mean, I'd still bet on that guy. I mean, if you're going to bet on guys, I mean, there's a handful of guys you bet on. He's got to be one of them at the very least.
I don't know, man. Like I told you, this is months ago. If it were me and I were running the Green Bay Packers as an example, I would have cut bait with Aaron Rodgers, which is pretty much where we started this conversation.
But they couldn't cut bait with Aaron Rodgers because what's-his-face, Jordan Love, is not that good.
Well, that's certainly the deduction that we all have. I guess this gets back to exactly what Travis was saying today, though, about LeBron James. You know, I personally would have gotten out of the Aaron Rodgers business because the guy has not been in a Super Bowl in 12 years. That's 12 years of being a starter. That's multiple NFC championship games that they didn't win. They've had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl. I would have gotten out of that. But the difference between LeBron James and Aaron Rodgers is LeBron won a championship two seasons ago. So I'm not giving up on LeBron right now. As great as Aaron Rodgers is, I'm out. At least if I'm Green Bay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's hit Radio Tinder, Laura. Well, producer Lindsay's on vacation this week, so we got Funchy in the house. Funchy, what do you got?
All right, guys. Momo read a great article on ESPN.com about Kenley Jansen's return to L.A. for the first time as a member of the Atlanta Braves.
You should read it on ESPN.com or the ESPN app.
Now, Kenley said he was very sad leaving L.A. for Atlanta after 17 seasons. He even cried breaking the news to Justin Turner and Clayton Kershaw, but he had 16 million reasons to leave for the ATL. Now, despite all of his shortcomings the past couple years at Dodgers in a Dodger uniform, I believe he's a Dodger legend. No, so will Kenley Jansen be remembered as a Dodger legend in his town? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Yeah, swipe right, absolutely. I believe he's a Dodger legend. I mean, he's been here. He was here forever, man. They won a championship while he was here. Yes, there were ups and downs, but I would say that that's pretty much almost every closer historically outside of, like, I don't know, three or four, basically.
But, you know, like how the last couple years – people have been hating him, you know, in social media, I mean, yelling at him at the games.
Fans are fickle, man. Like, that's just it. Like, outside of, like, Mariano Rivera and, like, Trevor Hoffman, and maybe I'm missing one or two other guys, there's just not a lot of consensus on closers. People are super fickle because it's also hard to be a closer for a really long time.
I was listening to the radio last year during the baseball season, and there was this guy, I wish I could remember who it was, but he was talking about how he was at the game, and he could see from his seat how Jansen had lost so much on all of his pitches, and you could see the ball wasn't spinning and it didn't have the movement. Gosh, who was that guy? I can't remember who it was I was listening to on the radio. Anybody remember that?
No.
Yeah, it was you.
Oh, me? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Listen.
I was like, Sedano.
I think to answer the question, I think Kenley Jansen is a Dodger legend and will be remembered as such. So let me ask you guys this question.
Yeah.
If Kenley Jansen comes into the game, whether it's tonight or over the next couple of games where the Braves are in town, how does the crowd respond?
Oh, he needs to get an ovation for sure.
Absolutely. I think he'll get some boos too.
Really?
It'll
I think he'll get some boos.
Crowd,
yeah,
who gets sure.
Dodger fans are you know.
We vicious.
They're vicious, yeah.
No, I know.
We
still
a little hood, you know?
They're still booing that kid that was like was here for like 5 minutes, and like they're booing him still.
But I think Dodger fans also – I think Dodger fans have an appreciation for players that have helped them win a championship. Remember, the Dodgers hadn't won a championship. What was the number? 30-some-odd years?
32.
Whatever it was.
But how much was he part of the championship? Because he wasn't playing well that season, too.
Yeah, but he was part of the core of the franchise.
He was here for 12 years, man.
Yeah, like, that not, built like, towards that championship. Yeah, I think Kenley Jansen, here's what I think. If and when he comes into a game, I do think Dodger fans will give him a standing ovation. I think they'll give him the love just the same way that Dodger fans gave Freddie Freeman the love when he had his first extra base hit in a Dodger uniform. I think they're going to give him the love when he comes into the game.
They should.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think they should. I think that, look, I think Kenley, you put in that amount of time. He'd been through all the ups and downs. He was on that team in 2017 that should have won. That obviously, you know, I just mentioned the Astros. We get it. We know what the deal is. And you know, he ended up winning one. I think he is a Dodger legend. Like, I mean, maybe people will disagree, but I would consider him one for sure.
Throw one little thing on top of all of this. And you know what else about Kenley Jansen? His teammates loved him. His teammates loved him.
Yeah. And he was great when he came on the show with us.
There you go. Well, yeah. All I'm saying is that he was adored in the clubhouse. Yeah. I think the fans owe him an ovation of some kind.
A little love, absolutely, for sure. All right,
and then if he has a save against the Dodgers, then you boo him.
Right. There you go. That's fine. I'm totally fine with once you've done the ovation,
right.
You can boo him because he's on the other team.
Right. Now he's the enemy.
Right. But at least when he's acknowledged, whenever that is, you should give him a cheer.
Could he get a free meal in this town?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, he didn't have a very good couple of last years, you know. But
he was really good.
I know a lot of people. You know, this town is. You know, what have you done for me lately? Basically,
I get it. But I mean, you know, again, it's really hard. I mean, look, it's really hard to be a closer for a long time. Like, it's just not easy.
It depends where he goes. I think it depends if he gets it or not. But ultimately, even though I was very critical of the end of his career here with the Dodgers, he deserves a good cheering ovation. Like, that's just what it is.
Laura's going to be one of those people booing him tonight at the game.
I will after if he does something to my team. But, like, first, it's like, dude, you got to give props are due. But I agree with Fonch. Like, look, y'all know how I feel about LeBron. Like, half of the fans are like, get rid of him. Like, let's go. So we just vicious in L.A. It's different.
All right, guys, we'll go to the next one. This is my last one. So last week, Dodger Stadium unveiled a new menu with funnel fries, a taqueria platter with taquitos, ooh, jalapeno poppers, and a quesadilla, and dessert helmet nachos with ice cream, which sounds intriguing. Now, even with all this, I still maintain a Dodger dog or a hot dog with all the fixing is the best thing to eat at the stadium or any Dodger or any baseball game.
Now, when you mean funnel fries, you mean like funnel cake?
Like it's funnel cake, but it's like fries.
But they're fries.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like basically like cookie dough. Like, like donut dough, basically.
Basically, and then it comes with like a dipping sauce, like chocolate or raspberry.
That sounds delicious. Anything fried like that. It's basically like funnel fries are like white people churros.
That's true. Yeah.
Don't anglicize that for me.
All right,
well, I didn't. I called them churros, so I didn't anglicize it. But you're saying because, gotcha, yeah. But that's what it is.
All right, guys, the question here is that the best thing to eat at a baseball game is a hot dog. Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano.
The best thing to eat at any baseball game?
Any baseball game.
I don't know, man. These stadiums have gotten really good food lately.
Yeah,
and
dude.
If you go to center
field, old school.
I don't like hot dogs, period. Like, it's just not my thing. I may have, honestly, one or two hot dogs in an entire year. And that's like even saying – that might be stretching it. So I like – when I go to Dodger Stadium, I want to go to center field and just eat from something there. Like, that's generally where I go.
Funchy, listen to me.
Or the nacho helmet, one or the other.
Yeah, but
I don't like the nacho helmet.
I like a good dog.
You don't like the nacho helmet?
No, what? It's pre-made. You know, they don't make it on the spot. You know, you can't ask for extra cheese or anything.
Dude, it's good. The ones with the carne asada.
Yeah, it's so good. I think the stuff in center field is better than the nacho helmet, but the nacho helmet is still fine.
I just think hot dogs today, to George's point, you go to any ballpark in America, they've adopted whatever local fare there is, and that's kind of part of the entertainment experience is you get something more than just a baseball game. And a hot dog, listen, Funchy, you give me a good Hebrew National hot dog.
There you go.
Okay, listen to me. Yellow mustard, relish, onions, sauerkraut.
Oh, I love you,
dude,
Cap. I love you, Cap.
That's a great dog. That is an amazing dog. But not really at a ballpark, I don't think. I don't think it's the same.
But it's easy to eat, too. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. When I think of baseball games, I think of hot dogs. I don't think of anything else.
I understand. I do. Dogs, beers. I get it. That's tradition. But I'm with George. The stadiums now, especially Dodger Stadium, as an example, has so much good stuff in it. I'm out on dogs, nachos, and by the way, nachos with ice cream. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, dessert nachos.
That's good, man. That sounds good.
Oh, so they're not just corn tortillas.
Yeah, we're done here. That is Radio Tinder each and every day around 5:30, basically. And all right, coming up next, I want to continue with this Dodgers stuff because I heard Mason say something about Dave Roberts today that I thought was spot on. Man, I'm agreeing with Mason way too much
today. Yeah, it's weird.
All right, let's do that. We're back in 3 minutes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When Chris said that one of the best songs ever, I was like, oh my God, Aretha and George Michael, I don't even remember. And then all of a sudden he played the music. I was like, oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
It's a banger.
Is it really? Isn't it one of her worst songs for both of them?
I don't know. Chris said it's one of the best songs ever.
It's a good song. You don't think it's a good song?
I don't. I mean, when you put it against George Michael's catalog or Aretha Franklin's catalog.
No, I mean, it's not. It's not like, I don't, I think
it's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
No, I would say Chris saying it's the best song ever is, of course, hyperbolic. But I would say it's an underrated song in his catalog.
Maybe it's the best song they ever did together.
I mean, that could be true. Though Funchy's taking all sorts of grief on Twitter right now about the helmet nacho.
Funch, any
defense?
People
are sending pictures of their helmet nacho.
Ooh,
this
yeah?
This one looks good. This looks really good.
I'm sorry. I just don't like it. Sorry.
No, but this one looks good. It's got the carne asada. It's got the salsa
fresca. And it doesn't look messy. It looks like it looks very neat, which is rare sometimes.
Now, do you take the helmet with you? Do you take the helmet home?
No.
Have you ever?
No.
Okay. I've had before.
Not as an adult.
No, but you take it home for the kids, don't you?
I mean, if I've gone with the kids, but not, you know, I usually go by like myself. Like, first of all, like 7 and 3 year old, maybe the 7 year old now, but like my kids were so small, they're not going to last at a baseball game, or that previously they wouldn't, certainly.
It's maybe a lot of jalapenos in this hat. A lot of jalapenos here. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I like the.
And the chips. The problem is if you don't get the carne asada ones, then the chips get really soggy with the ground beef.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Yeah. But it's got
so you
got
to get the carne asada ones.
The what do you call the crema something or other?
The crema, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Just, what? Yeah. There was no need to add the something or other.
Oh,
the crema.
Just
yeah.
Crema.
Crema.
See.
Yeah. Crema fresca.
Yeah, it's just sour cream.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah.
Looks really good. Got me hungry now.
Yeah. So there you go. So yeah, Funchy's taking the grief there. So Mason said today, and I agree with him. God, I can't believe I'm saying this so much today. He's like, fans hate Dave Roberts.
Oh, really? I heard him say this. Really? Do they?
I agree with him. I don't think it's fair. I love Dave. I think Dave's really damn good.
Oh,
but
my God.
People love to complain about the manager in baseball. And people, man, they take it out on him a ton.
Oh, George, last week, as you were kind of exiting for the week, dude, I was getting all kinds of heat on Twitter because the whole conversation we had about Clayton Kershaw and about should you pull him, should you not pull him, people were like, oh, don't ever listen to Kaplan when it comes to a Dodger take because Dave Roberts has Kaplan in his back pocket. And I'm like, does he?
I mean,
and I thought about it. I thought about it for
small,
a while.
But not that small. I mean,
no,
Dave's
but I think I'm
not that big.
I think I am in his back pocket.
I mean, we all come to it with our biases. You've known Dave Roberts for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know Dave Roberts like you do, but I agree with Dave Roberts. And I think Dave Roberts is a really good manager.
And people really does Mason thinks that the fans hate Dave Roberts.
Yeah, but it's because the general fan about the manager when it comes to baseball. That's absolutely a normal thing.
Yeah, but Dave Roberts in the last, let's just call it 2 years, has delivered a World Series and last year had this team positioned to make a run towards the World Series.
And then guys got hurt and stuff.
Right, and then the pitching staff fell apart. And you can argue all day long about how he managed the pitching staff and whether or not Scherzer should have pitched in relief or whether or not Urias should have been a starter rather than somebody who comes. Those things can be argued all day long. But injuries, especially the Kershaw injury and the Muncy injury at the end of last year, that's really what kind of killed the Dodgers season. And to their credit, they got over on San Francisco, who kind of shocked the world last year with their 103 wins or whatever it was. But really, do you think that overwhelmingly the Dodger fans don't like Roberts?
I get that sense. Funchy, what do you think? Oh, sorry, Laura, then go ahead. Laura, do you believe that fans dislike Dave Roberts?
Yes. Sorry, I was editing something. I love him. He's always been really nice when he calls in. But as a fan, I'm like, what the? are you doing sometimes? You
know? See, Kaplan, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but to your point, that is literally every baseball fan of every baseball team, and therefore they second guess every manager. I find Dave Roberts to be, again, just to be clear, I'm in his back pocket, okay? I find Dave Roberts to be a sweetheart, a likable personality, a good manager, someone who's delivered a World Series. Hatred? That's pretty strong for Dave Roberts. You want to second guess the guy, I get that all day long. But
I don't think he's hated. You're right. Because I wouldn't say I hate him. I just question some of the things he does. You know, even though, like, obviously, come on, who am I? But, you know, it's just as a fan, you're like, dude, what are you doing? But I don't hate him. He's just a nice, he looks like just such a nice guy.
Dude, he's an angel of a guy. But again, keep in mind, I'm in his back pocket. So don't take what I say for real. Okay? I'm all in on Dave Roberts. Have been for a long time. So, listen, I think hate is an extremely strong word when it comes to a manager that delivered a title 2 years ago for an organization that hadn't won one in 30-plus years. That's what I think.
I just think that Dave Roberts just – look, people used to complain. Dude, I remember having this conversation with people, you know, years ago when I was doing the morning show with Key and LZ, and it was like, oh, he's just a robot, blah, 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 blah. He doesn't do anything, you know, that the front office doesn't want to do. And then when he manages by gut, they destroy him then too. And it's like – well, which do you want? You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't win in that scenario. And I think that Dave, here's the thing about baseball, because it's 162 games. It's a marathon, man. Like, you have to have the patience of a saint to be the manager of a baseball team. And I think that there is, I have yet to see someone that has the acumen, the IQ, and the personality to manage today's player in the way that Dave Roberts does. Maybe there are other guys out there that can do it, but I feel like the combination of those things for him are what make me feel calm about watching him make a decision. And by the way, I generally agree with everything he does. Doesn't mean I agree with everything he does, but for the most part, I understand it. He's never made a decision in the 6 years that I've been on the radio here and watching his games, and I've said to myself, I don't even understand where he's coming from on this. Those words and that thought has never been uttered when I'm watching a Dodger game. I get where he's coming from.
I did that a week ago. A week ago, I was like, what is he doing?
The Kershaw thing.
Yeah.
Initially.
Like my initial response was, Dave, what are you doing? This guy has a perfect game going through seven innings. You don't take him out now. That was my initial reaction. So as you think about it and you really sit back and you go, where are we in the season? Who is the player? What is his injury history? How much do you need him later in the year? It all made sense. But my initial reaction was, Doc, what are you doing, man? But you see, the thing, George, is we've talked about this a lot with the Lakers coaching search. You have to have somebody that players look at and they respect as someone who is a former player who had a decorated, listen, not Hall of Fame, but decorated playing career.
Yeah, he played for a long time.
And
yeah.
Someone who understands now all the modern metrics and analytics and everything else that is available to you. Dave Roberts has that credibility in the Dodgers clubhouse. Frankly, my opinion, Frank Vogel never did have that in the Lakers locker room. I suppose you maybe argue that in his first year where they won the championship, he did have it for a short period of time. But That's what the Lakers need. They need a Dave Roberts-esque kind of character. Is it a Mark Jackson? Is it a Doc Rivers? There's probably plenty of others whose names are not coming to mind. Is it a Juwan Howard? But that's what Dave Roberts has in the Dodgers clubhouse. He got real credibility.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like, you're not going to get an argument from me on that stuff. By the way, last segment, Radio Tinder, was presented by our friends and new sponsor. You know him, Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere. Fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala.
Dollar.
I like
Tattoo
it the way you say it.
Got a whole bottle.
I know. I like the way you say it in your recorded spots that I hear on the station. Tequila Mandala. I like the way you say it there. I need more.
Tequila Mandala.
I need more. We crushed that bottle. Two sittings.
Delicious. All right. We're going to take a break. Coming up next, a Lakers coaching candidate has shot it down. We'll tell you who next. 3 minutes.